Well, let's turn to Isaiah in chapter 65. And we had Isaiah's prayer, just to remind us where we've been, to the Lord in Isaiah 64. And the last four verses of Isaiah 64 were actually Isaiah was saying to the Lord concerning the troubles that were coming for Israel. Is this going to last forever, Lord? Aren't you going to hear us, kind of thing? And you know what? The Lord answered him in Isaiah 65. And I'm so glad the Lord took time to write down the answer so that we can see it, because many times we'll be in those situations where, you know, we just feel like, Lord, are you ever going to show up? You know, I mean, where did you go? Are you in New York or something? And the Lord wants us to know he's there. He's just there. You know, he's there. I just had a great testimony from my brother here, Dan. Just got a job, and the Lord's blessed him with a great, great, mighty job. And he's rejoicing. So that is a great thing. So in the answer, we had the Gentiles last week. He wanted to talk about the non-Jewish people, how he would be blessing them, who is really us, right? And here 2,000 years later, the Lord is bringing his blessings to us as we look to him and talk to him, and he came to give us life and that more abundantly. And so we talked about the Gentiles last week. This week we're going to talk about the nation Israel and how God is now going to give promises about restoration. Restoration of the nation of Israel that he needed to actually discipline in the Old Testament, and that's what Isaiah was kind of crying about, is the destruction of Jerusalem. But God's building up Jerusalem again, even today, and it is awesome. So with that, let's go to verse 8. We didn't read verse 8 last week. And the Lord's speaking about his people here and how he's going to restore them. So it says, thus says the Lord, as new wine is found in the cluster. This is verse 8 of chapter 65 of Isaiah. And one says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. A blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sake, that I might not destroy them all. There's always a remnant. God's always got a remnant. And there's a people he's calling out from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to follow him. And prayerfully and hopefully, yes, we are part of that wonderful call. But he here talking particularly to the nation of Israel, he sees them as new wine that's found in a cluster. Now, let me give you the NIV translation on that, because it helps a little bit to understand it. If you see juice still in the cluster of grapes, don't destroy it, because it can be used and be a blessing to people. And so he's saying that's what he wants us to see in his nation, that he's got folks that are there that receive Jesus as Messiah. They become Messianic Jews, and he is blessed with them. And you know, the whole nation at the end of the tribulation period will confess Christ as their Messiah. Yes, that's what it says in Romans chapter 11. All of Israel will be saved. And so he is encouraging Isaiah, and he's encouraging us about the little nation over there, Israel. And so let's read verse 9. It says, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob. Now, Jacob is Israel. The Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means Prince of God. And out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. Now, Judah was one of Jacob's sons. He had 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. And through Judah came King David. Yeah. And then Joseph and Mary. And Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that's Revelation 5. And so, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. And my elect shall inherit it. And my servants shall dwell there. And it says in verse 10, he mentions now specific areas in Israel, Sharon. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herbs to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. Now, herbs, it's just a King James way of saying that there will be a lot of great plants in the valley of Sharon. the plain of Sharon. And as you drive by this very day, the plain of Sharon, and it's right down there, kind of across from Caesarea, and it is beautiful. And what they've done, it used to be swamp land, and they sucked all the water out, and they irrigated it just right, and Israel has become a huge production agent of flowers that are shipped around the world today, that are grown in the plain of Sharon and in other places in Israel. And so this came true. And this is a prophecy from years ago. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks and a valley, the valley of Achor, a place for herbs to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. And you know, a lot of Jewish people are making a whole bunch of money. They're being blessed financially through all that great growing of flowers in Sharon and Achor. And so then in verse 11, he goes back to talk a little bit about the destruction of those of that day, moving up on Nebuchadnezzar coming down and destroying Jerusalem and explaining it. He says, "But you are they that forsake the Lord and forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number that would actually come and defeat them. Therefore I will number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer." You know, there's people today just like this, and maybe you and I have been through this time too. Today you're here to listen to the Lord. That's why you're here. You've come to hear a study from the Bible and to listen for the Lord and His direction in your life. And God bless you for that. There are folks still out there that do not listen to the Lord. They fill their brains with noise. They go to Disneyland on Monday, Knott's Berry Farm on Tuesday, and listen to loud rock music on Wednesday. Just to not listen to the Lord. They're just filling their heads with noise and falderol and da 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 da, this and that. So they don't have to stand still and listen to God, because they don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. And that's what these people were doing. "I called, but you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear." You don't want to hear from me. "But you did evil before my eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not." You know, God has given us all what the scripture calls an oedus, and that is a inbuilt knowledge of Him and His ways. And we know deep in our hearts what is not evil and what is evil. And you know what? The Lord holds us accountable for that knowledge. As we just simply look at His creation, we know there's an oedus. There's this inner knowledge that says, you know what? You guys are wrong. You need to get right. You need to get with the Savior. You need to go with God. And He lets us know that just from looking at Yosemite or the ocean or any of it. There's a creator, and people strive against that. And this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And so the Lord says, "I'm talking to you, but you're not listening." No. "And I called to you, but you did not answer me, because you did evil before my eyes and did choose that wherein I delighted not." And so just the exhortation to go with God, to be part of the remnant, to be part of the juice in the cluster of grapes that God can save. And God can flourish and bring forth the new wine, yes, and the new skins, and do a wonderful work. So now with that, we go on down to verse 17, because verses 13 through 16 were about the Gentiles, and I talked about that last week. But here we have a promise for Israel, and of course this promise would hold to those that have been grafted in later also. But it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." So God is taking Israel, and really all of us, to the ultimate goal is to create a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, we know Orion pretty well. That's a constellation that's in the sky. We look for Orion. We go out. Sherry loves to find Orion. And different planets and so forth. We have Jupiter and has many moons, and Saturn with a ring around it. And so they used to think that ring was ice, but I think they've come up with gases now. I'm not sure what's going on now, but anyway, these things will all pass away. Nothing's going to remain except the Word of God and you who the Word of God lives in. That's it. That's what we take into eternity. And because He'll be making a new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or nor even come to mind. Now, we're told about these things in the New Testament. And also, as we see the scriptures about this in the book of Revelation, it kind of gives us a timing of what God's going to do in the future about the kingdom age and then the new heaven and the new earth. So I'd like to take you to those scriptures today first. Let's go ahead to 2 Peter chapter 3 in the New Testament. Now, 2 Peter is after Hebrews. You find Hebrews, that's 13 chapters, so you'd be able to find that towards the end of the Bible. Then you go to James, a small book, and then 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter and chapter 3, starting at verse 10. And it talks and enlarges upon this idea of a new heavens and a new earth. Now it says in verse 10 of 2 Peter 3, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." And I imagine that will be one tremendous noise when the heavens pass away, when Orion takes exit stage left. It's going to be hairy. "And the elements on the earth," the periodic chart that you study in chemistry and wherever, if you ever took chemistry, "and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works therein will be burned up." Now, the first time the earth was destroyed was by water. We have the rainbows to give us promise from God that He'll never destroy the earth again by water. The second and final time that He destroys this planet will be by fire. That's what it says right here. "The elements also and the works thereof therein shall be burned up." Now, right in the middle of this teaching, the Lord gives us an exhortation. And this is a sobering thing. And we want to be encouraged with it and exhorted by it. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation," or manner of living. It can be translated manner of living, King James is conversation. But to just be holy, for He is holy. "And godliness. So what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or manner of living and godliness?" To really take seriously righteous living. Really be seeking to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. To really be a light in a dark place so people can see your life and see the Bible being lived out through you. It's so important because these things are all going to pass away. And you know, it's kind of encouraging when you get a new car and get a scratch on it, you can just think the thought, it's going to burn anyway. So I got a scratch, it's my first scratch, but it's going to burn. Because everything is going to burn. And that's just how what the Bible teaches. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. Now let's go on then. And it says, "We're to be looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God." And this is something we're looking forward to. Because you know what? When Jesus comes, it would be so glad to be our president, you know? That's going to be so good. Somebody I can vote for, man. Somebody can actually put his name down and say yes. You know? So bad. Oh, yeah, I thought I'd just get that in. So we're looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire will be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, and this is the good part, and this is from Isaiah 65:17. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, which comes from Isaiah 65:17, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Oh, yeah. And you know, it says new earth here, and that's confirmed in Revelation 21:1. We'll look at that in just a second, but you know, it means that this is really going to be an earth. Terra firma, dirt, that you can reach and pick up in your hand and rub between. It's dirt. It's a new earth. It's not new fuzzball land. It's new earth. It's another planet like this one. So that we can know that this is real, it's got substance, and that God is going to meet our needs of creating new Yosemites, new Bryce Canyons, new Zion National Parks, new Yellowstone, Glacier Park, all of it. He's going to do it again, and he's going to do it bigger and better. That's just the way I see it, you know? We're going to have a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, so there won't be any more of this green thing, because we won't need to do a green thing, because everybody will be green. Okay. Isn't that great? We'll all be treating the planet good. None of us will be rebellious and doing bad stuff and making smog monsters and all the stuff that people do. We're just going to calm way down, follow God's lead, and do it right. And everybody around you is going to be doing it right. And you're going to be able to go to work. Why? Because the people there are wonderful. I had a guy tell me one time, he says, you know, I love my job, but it's too bad there's people there. Because that's what makes work hard, man. Getting along with everybody. You know. But when we get to the new earth, you see, everybody's going to know the Lord and love the Lord. And we'll be going, hey, praise the Lord, bro. Yeah, praise God. Man, guess what the Lord did the other day? Oh, man, that's so cool. And it's just going to be so great to go to work. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we'll work in heaven. It says that the curse will be gone and his servants will serve him. That's Revelation 2, verse 3. And so I love that idea. I don't like the idea of sitting on a cloud amongst a bunch of fuzz, of white fuzz, in a sterile land. And everybody's just playing a harp. Give me a break, man. But it's going to be a place with a river. This is Revelation 22, flowing out of the throne of God. And in front of the throne of God will be a glassy sea, a big pond of beauty out of which the river flows, and on either side of the river are trees of life that bear fruit once a month instead of once a year. And this is telling me that God's going to be doing the same things he's done here already, but bigger and better and more crisp. The grass will be so crispy, clean, clear, green, that'll blow us away. Did you know that the birds can see way better than us and see colors we can't see? Did you know this? They studied the hummingbirds, and they can actually see more vividly than humans because of our eyes and so forth, and polluted with smog and all that. But anyway, I just imagine what God can do in just blessing us with the new, sharper bodies, sharper senses, be able to see colors maybe we've never seen, and actually go into eternity that way. So the new heaven, the new earth. Now, to give you some timing about this and to show it to you in Revelation, let's go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. Revelation 20, verse 7. Chapter 20, verse 7. Now, the Lord Jesus is going to return to the earth with the raptured church, and rule on the earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years before the new heaven and the new earth. Now, the new heaven and the new earth are the return to Eden, the Garden of Eden, before sin, before there was ever any sin. The 1,000-year reign of Christ will be returning to pre-flood conditions. There will be some that choose sin. And that's really sad to say. During the time of the millennial reign of Christ, which Christ will keep in order and administrate his kingdom with a rod of iron, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. His rod is for discipline, his staff is for leading, and he does both tough love and love, if you want to put it that way, through his rod and staff. And we're told in the Shepherd Psalm, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. And we will be comforted, and we will help him administrate his kingdom on the earth, the Christians that have been saved and gone to heaven and in the rapture and coming back with him to help rule and reign. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him for the 1,000-year reign. They that will be priests of God, it says in verse 6, are you there in Revelation 20 yet? Verse 6. The end of verse 6 says, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, why is God doing this? Why doesn't he just skip the 1,000 years and let's just go on to the new heaven and the new earth to return to Eden and not just to pre-flood conditions? Well, my opinion on this, and this is speculation, is this, that he wants to show the human race how it's done. Because Hitler said he was going to reign for 1,000 years. Did you know that? The Third Reich was destined to rule the earth for 1,000 years. Did it work? No. Why? Because Hitler was demon-possessed. And he met his Waterloo pretty quick. Just, I don't know, was it a decade? But he was actually commit suicide with his girlfriend. And I'm just convinced he was demon-possessed. He killed 6 million Jewish people in those ovens. So, God is going to send his own son to say, you know what, Adolf Hitler couldn't do this because he was evil. And yet there is no man or woman on the planet ever that can do this. But I'm going to show you how to do it. And he's going to come in his magnificent love and his magnificent perfection. He's going to do everything fair. He will use the right email server, etc. You know, he's just going to be spot on. And everybody that's under his rule is going to go, yes. And sometimes go, well, that's hurting. That's hurting me. But it's for our good. Because he's bringing discipline of some kind in some situation, whatever he needs to keep people in line. But it'll be successful because he's God, and he's the creator, and he knows how to do it, and he's going to show the universe that he can do it, where no one else in all of history even got close. So that's my opinion. Anyway. So when the 1,000 years are expired after the rule of Jesus on the earth, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. What? What? You're going to let that guy out? Yeah, the Lord's going to let him out. You see, he's put into the abyss, the abuso, for 1,000 years and chained up so that Christ can have free reign on the earth without interruption from Satan. And the abuso, the abyss, nobody knows where that really is, but I have this opinion that it might be at the Grand Canyon. Did you ever go to the Grand Canyon and see the structure they built out over the canyon from the top of a cliff? And so you can get out to look down over the railing of this thing and just hope that there's not an earthquake. But it's 1,000-foot drop straight into what they call the abyss. Could be. Because in the Bible it says that there's a place on earth somewhere that's called the abyss, and it's a giant hole where there's a demon, Apollyon, that's in charge of that place, and it's going to be opened up during the tribulation period, and these horrible looking monstrous creatures are coming out of there and given power over men to hurt them for 5 months. They'll be like scorpions, but they're big and they have certain attributes that even say that make you think it could become some kind of military vehicle. We don't know, but it's going to come from the abyss, and that's where Satan's locked up for this 1,000 years. And so it could be right there at the Grand Canyon, you never know. Anyway, we read on, it says, so Satan shall go out to deceive the nations, verse 8, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, which are demonic forces, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now this is a scary thing a little bit, because it means that Satan is able to get enough people on his side that their number is like the sand of the sea, after being ruled by Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. I guess we're just bent to make wrong decisions, aren't we, as a race, the human race. Then he says he goes up on the breadth of the earth, and he surrounds the camp of the saints, and that would be you and I, and the beloved city, Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So this is when the earth is destroyed by fire and the elements melt with fervent heat, is when Satan is let loose to tell his lie, and so many people gather with him and they try to attack us, but we don't have to fight them. Praise God. God just calls fire from heaven and that's it. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, which is Gehenna and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so that's the end of the devil. Now, in chapter 21, verse 1, we read, as you see with me, I hope you're with me in the Bible. This gets a little bit too fast and confusing if you're not looking at the Bible. But it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So this is when Isaiah chapter 65, 17 happens right here, Revelation 21, 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea. That was very sad to me, that there will be no more sea, because I really love to surf. I haven't been able to get up for a while. I've been in the gym trying to strengthen my muscles so I can get back up on my board. But I'm just getting this idea that the Lord's saying, enough, buddy. You're really going to break something. Don't do this. So, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, there's no more sea in heaven. And there are other interpretations of this that people try to say, but it doesn't scratch my itch, really, to be honest with you. It's kind of like making it say something it doesn't say. There won't be any more sea. So, but there's a glassy sea before the throne of God, which means like a lake. And out of that will come this river. And we can always surf the river, right, Louis? We just go on the river, man. Or you know what I've been looking forward to more is the 1,500-foot cumulus clouds. You just take off on the top of one of those. And it says there's no more pain or death in heaven, so I can't die. It just whipped down a giant cloud, man. So that'd be fun. Anyway, Pastor Chuck says this, because I really studied this because it was important to me. But Pastor Chuck says, the reason that there's a sea on earth is to neutralize all of the bad germs. You know how you're supposed to gargle with salt water when you get a sore throat? Because it's antiseptic. And so the world is so antiseptic, and the Lord knew it would get really polluted and antiseptic really heavily. He made 2/3 of the earth salt water to just kind of neutralize the bad stuff. And so we won't need that in heaven, because heaven is a wonderful place. Yeah. I was trying to think of the next line, you know. Filled with glory and grace, I'm going to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there. And we could go on and on, right? Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Okay. Now, so we've seen that. Restoration to Eden is what happens in Revelation 21:1 with the new heaven and the new earth. Now, it says that that earth will be remembered no more or brought to mind. But there are scriptures that balance, I think can balance with that, to let us know that what we won't remember is Adolf Hitler or any of the bad people or any of the bad situations, or probably not even remember countries like Iran and North Korea. But we will remember the good stuff. Let's turn to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I love to quote these scriptures, and I always love it when someone has never seen these scriptures before. Malachi 3:16. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. It says this, they that feared the Lord, in verse 16 of Malachi 3, spoke often one to another. And that's what we do when we fellowship together. We just talk about the Lord. We're so blessed with what God's doing, how God's leading us. And so as we are having respect for the Lord and fearing Him, we speak often one to another. And it says, and the Lord listens. He hears that. Remember in our congregation years ago, the oldest member of our congregation, Irene Sartorius, she used to say this all the time, I am so proud of Jesus Christ. I just loved it when she said that, because that's really true. Isn't it true? We're just proud of Jesus Christ. And the Lord listens. He hears that. And what does He do with that? It says, and He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon His name. And so even when we just think about the Lord and just are thinking, the Lord has been so good to me and my family, He hears that, He sees that, and He puts it down in His book of remembrance. And then it says in verse 17, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. And so in my mind, in my heart, I just kind of believe from these scriptures that what it's saying about not remembering the former earth is not remembering the world system, which is bad, and one of our enemies are the devil, the world, and the flesh. And so the world, in the sense of being our enemy, is gone forever. But those wonderful things that happen here, the times we fellowship together, those little cliches that we made up together as Christians that blessed us, Marvin always used to say, we must trust. And I think that's awesome. We must trust. And that's what we got to do. And so it's just wonderful to think of the idea that God remembers that. But He doesn't just remember it. He writes it down that we might observe that in the library of heaven when we get there, the book of remembrances. Remember when we were together and God was with us and you said this and I said that. Remember that moment that you got saved and the people you were with and the people you love and don't see because we're soldiers of Jesus Christ and He assigns us to different states and different countries sometimes and we don't see each other for a long time. But we're going to be together and remembering and rejoicing in all that God did from His book of remembrance. And I'm so stoked about this idea. So I wanted to share that with you to kind of bring a little balance that nothing would be remembered or brought to mind. But I really believe the book of remembrance will be there for us. So let's go on. Let's go back now to Isaiah 65. And verse 18 now begins talking here about the kingdom age. The kingdom age. Now, this is not the restoration of Eden, as I mentioned before, but the restoration of pre-flood. Pre-flood, when everybody lives forever. Do you remember Methuselah? How many know how old Methuselah was when he died? He's the oldest man that ever lived. 969, Sally gets an A for the day. 969 years Methuselah lived. And that was before the flood. Now, why is that? Well, the scientists believe there was a canopy of water around the earth, because it says the waters above the waters in Genesis 1. And so it's like the ring around Saturn. And it was cool when they used to believe it was ice, because that's a good comparison, ice, if it was ice around Saturn. It's like a canopy of water around the earth to make the earth like a, what are those things called? A greenhouse, yeah. So the greenhouse, and you put a mist in a greenhouse, and the mist waters the plants instead of the rain. And we're told that before the flood, it never rained before. But if God broke up that protective thing around the earth, and then actually what would happen then is it would rain for a long time. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights it rained. And so just emptying that thing, and that thing protected the earth from the harmful rays of the sun, which causes the aging process. So people lived way longer. And one scientist, oh my goodness, this one guy said cockroaches were 3 foot. I went, oh man, I'm so glad I didn't live then. I hate cockroaches with a passion. But that ferns grew 60 feet high, and there were great big animals like dinosaurs. I shouldn't say like dinosaurs, there were dinosaurs. But when the flood came, the protective thing over the earth to keep away the harmful rays of the sun caused people to live shorter lives and made things smaller. And so there you go, explanation, science meeting Bible. And so that's really cool. So now let's go ahead and read in verse 18, the kingdom age. And this sets us up to understand verse 20, which I really had a hard time understanding. So let's read this. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing. Jerusalem is just going to be a rejoicing place, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more there an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. You'll still be considered young at 100, because you have 900 years to go. But the sinner, and so this lets us know that it's not pre-sin, but it's pre-flood. And there was sin during the flood, leading up to the flood. So, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. In other words, that if you die young because you're totally into sin, you'll be 100, because that's very, very young. And that's what this is saying. So actually, to sum up, verse 20 is just saying, in the kingdom age, it'll be like pre-flood, before the flood happened. And we'll have that beautiful thing of the whole earth blooming. We'll have the rule of Jesus with his rod and his staff being administrated by you and I and people of the kingdom, and watching over people that are born that have a propensity or a idea to lean towards sin, need to be corrected and kept in line. But at the end, the sad story again, Satan is able to gather an army against the saints That's like the sea upon the sand upon the seashore. So it says here, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, we have a tree that's 800 years old in our front yard in the desert. If you visit Sequoia, there's a tree up there that they claim is as old as Jesus Christ, 2,000 years. Yeah. So the Lord says here, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people. So there it's talking about the longevity. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And you know, he does that even now, doesn't he? This is we are blessed with kingdom things already as we walk with the Lord. Man, there's been times when you just think, man, I got to pray about that. And then the answer is there. It's like the Lord knows what you have need of. And that's a scripture. The Lord knows what you have need of. And the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And so just this awesome kingdom run by an awesome leader who is perfect. I remember I took a comparative religions class in college. And I was a little nervous when I took that class because I thought maybe this will kind of question my faith and I'll get shaky over it. But it really, really established me strong in the faith. I got an A in that class. It was a Chinese national that was teaching it that wasn't a Christian. And so it was neat to just confront all that. And he talked about Confucius. I actually wrote a paper on Confucius because Confucius lived before Jesus, and he was a guy that actually gave proverbs, but backwards proverbs. Example, the golden rule that Jesus gave us, that you should do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And Confucius said, you ever hear that saying, Confucius said? But Confucius said, what you don't want done to you, don't do to somebody else. So he was kind of on the negative side. Jesus was on the positive side, and that was neat. But one thing that Confucius said that kind of lingered with me, and you've probably heard this saying before, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That whenever you get somebody with a lot of power and a lot of money, it's hard to stay straight. It's just hard to stay straight for a human being. And we've seen so many, you know, go down the wrong path one way or the other. But, you know, with Jesus, he's perfect. And he'll never go down that wrong path. And I'm so glad that Jesus will come to be the exception to Confucius's rule. I always love that idea. And so there it is. Now, with the wolf laying down with the lamb, and the lion eating straw and so forth. I loved what, did you read this or come up with it? Yes, okay. An herbivore. You know, like a carnivore, somebody that eats meat. Well, we're going to be herbivores. How about that? And so we'll be eating herbs, and all the lions and tigers and bears will be too. So there'll be no more killing, and that is going to be awesome. Somebody said to me after the last service, I can't have a steak in heaven. I said, brother, you got to get used to that. We're all going to be like Sherry. Tofu, man. But I'm sure we'll be just fine, don't you? It's going to be a great place. Heaven is a wonderful place. So let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, for your great wisdom, your great strength, your great power, your awesome promises. And, Lord, we thank you that you've laid out the future for us. You've answered Isaiah's prayer to just talk about the Gentiles and the Gentiles being grafted in. And, Lord, just becoming partakers of what you have for your nation, Israel. Lord, thank you for the specificness you give to us about that nation. And we see it happening, Lord. We're so thankful for it. We thank you for the plain of Sharon. We thank you, Lord, for the valley of Norak. And Father, what you're doing over there, even today. And Lord, looking forward to what you're going to do in the future. And thank you, Lord, that there's going to be a restoration of Eden one day with our new heaven and our new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Thank you, Father. We're so blessed. And so we appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One more thing. You can give online now if you so desire, whatever God leads you. Now, if you don't know the Lord yet, you need to come to the prayer room because Jesus wants to meet and greet you and smile through life with you and take care of all your needs. He does that. He's so good. And so the prayer room's open, and you can go there. May the Lord bless you today. God just continue to lead you and guide you and show you what to do every minute of each day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Yeah.